Welcome to the Rock Fight, where we speak our truth, slay sacred cows, and sometimes agree to disagree. This is an outdoor podcast that aims for the head. I'm Colin True, and today we're welcoming back environmental fashion journalist Sophie Benson. Sophie is going to help talk through a few headlines to come out of the sustainability world, as well as play another edition of This Week in Greenwashing, so stick around for that. But first, have you subscribed to Rock Fight's newsletter, News from the Front? Every Sunday, you can get a gorgeous digital copy of News from the Front, where you'll find everything that happened in the RFU over the previous week, as well as a couple of goodies like our parting shot and the outdoor industry history piece that you can't get anywhere else. When you receive our digital copy, make sure to immediately put that Bad Larry in a poly bag so it doesn't lose value, because it will be worth a lot of money one day. To sign up, head over to rockfight.co and click join the mailing list. All right, let's start the show. All right, Sophie Benson is back on the Rock Fight. Welcome back, Sophie. So good to see you again.
Hi, you too. Thanks for having me.
We were just chatting before we hit record. Number one, sounds like spring has not quite made it to the UK yet. We're a little early.
No, it fooled us for a couple of days. We all started taking our coats off, and then the back on. It's raining. It's classic UK.
Now, at that to the. But you also then get to wear that dope sweater you're wearing, which you're telling me you made yourself. I think we need to start off with Sophie's Corner, Sophie's, you know, secondhand corner, whatever we want to call it. Like, what are we wearing today that is from the secondhand shop or homemade even?
Okay, so today we have a secondhand skirt, which I've had for absolute years, a very nondescript white T-shirt, but then also, yeah, like a sweater that kind of looks like a blanket that I made myself. So, yeah, we've got a good mixture today.
We're going to have to workshop this because I just realized I introduced a visual segment to an audio medium. So if you have a good photo, we'll put it up on Instagram. All right. So we do have a few topics to run through today. The first of which is one actually you brought to my attention. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I felt a little like, oh my God, am I not doing my job appropriately here? Because this is from like last September. And yes. It's how sneaky old Adidas sort of brought to market a single-use running shoe. If you're listening to this and also missed it, it's called the Audio Pro Evo 1. Great name, I guess.
Rolls off the tongue. Right.
It's a $500 marathon shoe designed only for one marathon. So I guess let's just start with when did you find out about this? Were you immediately horrified? What were your thoughts immediately when you saw this thing?
Well, I have to admit that I actually wasn't the one who came across it. It was my marathon running partner. So I think even that shows, unless you are really, really tuned into that sector, you kind of weren't going to hear about this. So the story is that they released this last September. Initially, it was just for the elites, but I think now they have released this kind of small batch of them to like everyday humans, I suppose. They're really, really lightweight. They're supposed to be incredible for performance, but because of all those details, they are essentially only meant to be worn for one marathon. So Adidas has pioneered the single-use shoe. Incredible. In 2024.
It is a small batch, like 521 mm-hmm. of these. And like, mm-hmm. I bet you maybe what half of those were probably given away, right? I would imagine. But whatever. Let's just put that. It's the principle that matters here the most.
It is the principle.
It does seem like they don't want that much attention to it. I mean, you know, I figure between you and I, we're pretty attuned to what's happening. Like you're definitely more on like the fashion side, me on the outdoor side, but there's a nice Venn diagram where those things overlap. Exactly. And when you pinged me, you're like, hey, what are we going to talk about? Have you heard of this single use shoe? I just like, I went on this major Google deep dive. Like what, how did I, and then I saw it was September and like, what is happening here? Like how, and they did some press around it. It got some coverage, but not very broadly speaking. I don't know. It feels a little like they know what they did, but they liked it too much to not do it.
Yeah. I mean, I do get that Adidas do have a sector of their brand, which is all about performance, which is all about like getting those marginal gains from marathons. Fine. I get that. But like you said, it is the principle. And so it feels to me like our human desire to run a marathon like 2 seconds faster than anyone else has done it before is prioritized over environmental security and the future of humanity. And okay, and I don't think this is even just kind of focused on these 521 pairs, which although is a lot, if they're piled up, you know,
yeah, that's true.
Doorstep,
it's a good point.
It's still
very
a lot of shoes. Yeah.
Right.
But you know, even having said that, Adidas make 482 billion units per year. And even if they're not all single use, a lot of them are single life. You know, they're not being kind of turned back into anything else. So, you know, just just as a brand, you know, there is so much waste there. So I don't just kind of want to talk about this as if, you know, it's just this shoe. I think that is symptomatic of just like a wider wasteful business model, basically. Yeah, so yes, this shoe is horrible, but also so is like so much of the rest of the footwear industry.
Yeah, I also, you're absolutely right. And you think about it, that's a good point. You're just so conditioned of like the units, minimum units for run, and, you know, 500 doesn't sound like that much relative to probably what they make of, you know, like a classic Samba, right? I'm sure minuscule, drop in the bucket, but whatever, it's still 500 pairs of shoes. Really good point. I also see it as kind of like a boner of a PR move here. Like it almost could be like you could actually effectively turn this into an environmental story that would definitely be a little maybe greenwashy, like not, you know, you and I might kind of smell the bullshit attached to it, but you could say like, hey, we're doing this thing and look how easy it is to make this thing and it's not good for the environment. I don't know. There's some way you could spin this and get probably positive attention. I think I'm mostly offended by the fact that there wasn't a big kind of a lot of coverage of this and it just sort 100%. Of exists now.
Yeah, that's it. And it kind of makes me worry about, well, in the same way that the silhouette of a running shoe has really changed over the last like couple of years for this like really chunky sole. And so what if this becomes a norm that it's just like, okay, this is your single use marathon shoe. And I mean, frankly, maybe they already are. Maybe runners are already just wearing one per marathon. I don't know. But yeah, I just think it's potentially like creeping towards something that becomes normal. And at the same time as well, how much revenue does Adidas make? I should have checked beforehand, but a huge amount. They could have pioneered a single-use shoe that dissolves when you finish with it or turns into something else. Like, they have that capability, and they just haven't even addressed the end of life.
Yeah, Justin Hausman, who comes on once a week, I told him about this yesterday, that you and I are going to be speaking about this, and he had not heard of it, and he's a gear reviewer. Like, he does a lot of gear reviews. And immediately, he's like, the only way that should exist should be if you can then plant it in a pot afterwards.
Right, exactly, you know? Exactly. And we would be here singing their praise if that was okay. Well, a little bit. We'd always have something cynical to say. But, you know, we'd be saying a lot more good stuff than we are.
Well, I mean, well, we are talking about a brand that has a very robust page of, you know, quote unquote, sustainability initiatives on their website that this flies directly in the face of, which, you know, is every brand as well, by the way, but no one else is making a single use shoe. But, and then I guess that's the other thing is it's, you know, Adi, like, you've got 480, how many styles, how many shoes did you say they make a year?
So in 2023, it was 482 billion units. That might include apparel. I'm not sure, but either way, would. I mean, come on, that's huge.
That's huge. I mean, those are almost like, I mean, what does Shein make? I imagine they're that much different.
Well, exactly. Shein are on thousands a day. When you multiply that, I don't know, they might be outstripping them.
Incredible. Incredible. Well, anyway, I guess we'll keep an eye on this, see if it comes up again. Maybe it just kind of goes away. You know, maybe nobody wanted to spend, even the most hardcore runner probably. And if you just did it for like your 50 sponsored runners, I don't think anyone would have batted an eye at it, on it.
Exactly.
Anyway, well, the biggest news to come out since we last spoke was the demise of the Sustainable Apparel Coalition, who has been renamed Cascale. Am I saying that right? Is it Cascale?
You are. Can I be the one who explains what the name is?
I would love that, because number one, it's a terrible name. Like, as a brand guy, I'm like, no, just bad name. But anyway, please explain what Cascale is.
Oh my God. I was honestly just beside myself when I heard about it. It's like a school project in branding. So it's Cascale. So CAS is SAC, Sustainable Apparel Coalition, backwards. And then it's scale because
so much worse than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, it's so bad. And then scale because they're scaling. So Cascale. I mean,
this is like, like high school level, like branding.
It's, yeah, I mean, the consensus amongst my peers who've been chatting about this, who I won't name, is yes, this is a bad name, it's bad branding, and the message behind it is bad.
I mean, this is kind of like a Saturday Night Live sketch when you really kind of like pull it all together. Like, okay, so we have this bad reputation because the Higg index basically turned out to be mostly bullshit. Mm-hmm. So what do we do? you know what? You should have just shut it down. Like, do something completely different. But you don't. Okay, so let's rebrand, and that's going to, like, get the stink off of us? Like, what is this? So I guess, you know, you said you were telling me you were invited to the big announcement.
I was invited. There was a red carpet event at the Shard in London, which is obviously this, like, huge, I mean, how much does it cost to rent that place? A lot, I imagine. I didn't want to go. I don't live in London. I live in Manchester. The trains here are expensive. I didn't want to pay for the train to go to an event that I didn't really want to report on in the first place. But yeah, there was a big fancy red carpet event. There was merch, there was branded merch, because the world needs more branded merch. Yeah, and it was kind of a big, just this big glitzy announcement. And I think it's also worth noting that this is the second rebranding in the fallout of the HIG index. So HIG Co. became right. Worldly in 2023, another awful name, potentially use the same branding company, I don't know. And then now the SAC has become Cascale. So everyone's like, we need to just rid ourselves of the HIG scandal. Everyone's running away from it.
I have this kind of like fantasy right now that like there's some creative agency in London. It's like, let's really fuck with these people. Let's just give them terrible. They'll do anything we say. Let's give them terrible names and to see if they'll. They said yes again. Oh my God. It's like everything you just said is kind of horrifying. And, you know, at least Adi and their single use shoe. Mm-hmm. You know, I bet there's a marathoner out there who like these things are dope. Like who loves them. Right. And you can say like, I get the brief. You probably should have made what was on the brief, but I get the brief. This is the Sustainable Apparel Coalition throwing a red carpet event and then having branded merch.
Yeah. Like, and I think also it's just, it is just worth talking about actually what the Sustainable Apparel Coalition / Cascale actually is. Because they're one of those companies or organizations or whatever you want to call them that I kind of look at and I think, what do you do? Like, and I'm a journalist. I'm supposed to find this stuff out. The answer seems to be not very much.
Yeah.
It's, you know, their members include Amazon, Asda, which is a supermarket here in the UK, owned by Walmart, Boohoo, Fabletics, Inditex, Levi's, Primark. All of those are dogged by human rights abuses claims. The members combined have a total revenue somewhere around $845 billion per year. With that kind of money, you could clean up the industry. You could pay people living wages. All this stuff could be achieved. And yet we're 10 years in. And can you really honestly tell me that there is a marked difference in this industry? No. It's just, it doesn't exist. And you know, so yeah, I just have to question, like, what are they? What are they doing? I think they're just kind of, they exist for the reputation so that brands can put it on their website. I don't know. The name's bad, but also, like, what are they doing?
It's so funny you brought that up because when this happened, I'm like, oh, I haven't thought about these guys for a while. And I went to their website. I did some research with the express purpose of like, what exactly do they do again? Like, I mean, I remember saying the HIG index started supposed to be some sort of standard, whatever that, you know, like you manufacture by and it's supposed to, you know, whatever. Even that seemed like it was a little unclear. It seems like intentionally it was made to be unclear, but and you can't really get an answer. And I think back to my time at Polar Tech and, you know, everything had to be either Blue Sign certified or OKEOTech certified. And I'm not saying that they're in the same category, but I remember just feeling like, what does it matter? Like who is going to say, no one has ever said to me either at retail, at a brand, wherever said, hey, is this Blue Sign certified? Did you manufacture this by the standards put forth by the HIG index? No one has said that. And it just not, if nothing else, in lieu of actual regulation, this just feels like, hey, you know, we could all make some money here, guys. Let us make this standard. You can say you made it by this standard. You pay us some money. It looks good for you. You know what I mean? It's just, it feels like some sort of like mob boss sort of like conspiracy, like, you know, pyramid scheme is what it feels like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I'm sure I always mention them every time I come on. I'm sorry, I do have a vendetta against them, but Boohoo.
Yeah, you're low in your neighborhood. That's what you're doing on your holiday. Yeah. You're just walking out front with a sign.
That actually is coming down the pipeline, but that's for another time. So the fact that they're a member of the Sustainable Apparel Coalition was one of the reasons why they were kind of not let off the hook, but they were sort of allowed to continue post the investigation into their big pay scandal a few years ago. It was like, well, this is proof that they're trying to do better. So it's just all kind of shielding, I think, against accountability. And it seems to work, which is the really frustrating thing.
There was the other news in the last few months, though. I can't remember exactly when it came out, but about H&M's partnership with Renewcell. Mm-hmm. So when Renewcell was I don't remember the specifics of it. It was another kind of program that they had, you know, partnered with to help create, I think it was more recycled content in their mm-hmm. products, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't go well. You know, is there any correlation between the HIG and the RenewCell thing in your eyes? Is that something that, you know, I don't know, how would you kind of correlate the two?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, for me, it's just promises and sort of these things that we hold up that seem to offer us a bright future for the fashion or for the apparel industry in general. And then they just don't come to fruition. And then yeah. we're sort of here stuck again with the same problem. So RenewCell, based in Sweden, it's a textile-to-textile recycling company. And, you know, they create the textile and they can sell it to brands and brands can use it in their collections. Like, it's, you know, they're a textile manufacturer essentially, but they're doing it in a different way. Their feedstock is textiles. H&M were kind of a big investor. They used RenewCell as proof, again, like people do with being a member of Cascale, that they're kind of doing the right thing, they're investing. In November 2023, RenewCell made zero sales. For all these brands talking about how much they're investing, how much they're willing to put their money where their mouth is, for a pioneering company like RenewCell to make zero sales in a month is terrible. And now they've gone bankrupt. In the same week that RenewCell go bankrupt, the news comes out that H&M have now established another recycling, company, organization, whatever you want to call it, called Saia, which is polyester-based recycling. So, you know, forget RenewCell. Okay, we're not really bothered about that anymore. We'll do a new one because now this is a new announcement and it makes us sound kind of really relevant and, and like we're really good for the environment again. So, yeah, it's just don't stop and start things. Like, stick with what you were supposed to be investing in the first place.
I mean, this is just like fashion gaslighting, right? I mean, it's like no, guys, we're real. No, what do you mean we're not doing things for the environment? Of course we're doing things for the environment. Mm-hmm. I said to you before we recorded, it reminds of that line from Scott Pilgrim of like, wait till you meet my new girlfriend, you know? And it's like, oh, RenewCell's old news. Have you met this one? See, exactly. Look at all the work we're doing. By the way, we're joining Cascale next week. Did we tell you that? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Unreal. And, you know, and I think as well, the fact that it's polyester really suits their fiber mix well because they're so polyester heavy. And now they can just carry on using polyester, but then say, oh, we've got, you know, 5% recycled in it or whatever it is they're going to use. So I just think this probably suits them better and potentially means that they have to make less of a shift in their manufacturing or their business model. This is me, you know, purely speculating, but it just seems for a polyester heavy brand to drop your sort of cotton/viscose style alternative and kind of jump into polyester recycling. Like, of course that suits them.
Oh, all right. Well, let's just like move on from our gripe session, I guess. But let's talk about this week in greenwashing. Like we did last time you were here, you are plugged into what's happening out there. And we have our now recurring segment, This Week in Greenwashing. If any brands out there who are proud of their track record of not greenwashing, you know, they want to sponsor this segment, send an email, myrockfight@gmail.com. See, step up a little bit here. Are you not greenwashing? We want to hear from you. But all right, Sophie, who are your offenders this time?
Okay, well, this isn't necessarily new greenwashing, but it's a bit of a greenwashing comeuppance and it's a bit of proof, which I really like. So I think it was earlier this year, could have been towards the end of last year. Kim Kardashian, through her brand Skims, launched the nipple bra. And the tagline is, so no matter how hot it gets, you'll always look cold. And there was this whole campaign about like the climate and she's saying, no, she's not a climate scientist, but everyone can play their part. And the kind of payoff was they're going to donate 10% of sales to 1% for the planet. It was just, the whole thing was outrageous. But I think, you know, people fell for it. They were like, okay, you know, she's not a hero, but it's great that they're donating. However, this week, Remake, which is like a fair fashion sort of organization fighting for justice, gave Skims a 0 in their accountability report out of a possible 150 points.
Oh my goodness.
Across categories, including wages, materials, environmental justice, and traceability. So just wanted to show, you know, you can go out and greenwash all you want, but you will probably get your comeuppance and you will be exposed at some point. So I kind of love that, you know, we're really not that far on from that campaign and here we are, 0 points.
See, this just goes back to what we were saying earlier. Like, to put even the environmental stuff aside, like, if you're not paying attention to stuff, the gap problems the Gap have had over the years, to what Nike has had over the years of, like, fair wages and working environment, like, how do you not vet your factories? How do you not? It's so, this isn't 20, 30 years ago when there was probably people who truly didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, that's a good price, sign a contract and go. Like, I've worked with these brands who know how they need to send the people in ahead of time, go see living conditions, working conditions. You need to know what the hell you're signing up for. So you're just, you're screwed from the get-go, at number one. And then number two, well, then the most importantly is the environmental piece as well. That's incredible. 0 out of 150. Yeah. Nice work.
Yeah. So just no disclosure. We don't know anything. And you know, when people aren't telling us anything, there's got to be something to hide.
Back to the brief. If the brief is the nipple bra, then you're probably... You probably should have stopped right there.
I mean, I just as fair. What's wrong with real ones? Come on.
Do you have any other ones? Any other greenwashing stories?
That is my greenwashing for the week.
That's so
it was a gotcha.
I love that we got a gotcha. Oh man, we have to do like a sound effect, like, you know, like gotcha. You know. Do you have any high notes, anything going on that we can be positive about? Any positive takeaways after all of our griping for the last 30 minutes here on The Rock Bite?
I do actually have some positive news. I have two things for you. The first thing is, last week I spent most of my week working on a cover story about secondhand fashion. So secondhand fashion is going on a cover. Thank you. But I just think it's amazing that that is deemed worthy of a cover. So it's for a... pertinently, it's for a publication called Positive News. And it's just, I had a great time just talking to people about their secondhand stories and where they buy things and why they love their clothes. And I just love that an editor was like, this is worth going on the front cover. So I think that's really positive. I think it's great that people have an appetite for that and editors are willing to stick that on the front page. So I guess from like a personal point of view and a publication point of view, I think that's really positive. Second bit of good news, there's really interesting things going on in France, who do tend to lead the way in terms of like environmental legislation. They banned the destruction of unsold goods a few years ago. They know what they're doing. So currently their National Assembly is debating a bill that would impose penalties on purchases from brands like Shein and Temu and Primark, which I think is great. So it just makes it more expensive to buy them, and it potentially imposes a penalty on the brand for making them. So proposed penalties are up to 10 euros per item or 50% of the selling price. That's by 2030. And that's huge. When you're buying something that might cost like 5 euros and you're adding 50% onto the price, that immediately becomes much more appealing. And there's also talk about, as well as putting a penalty on the fast fashion stuff, it's actually sort of putting a bonus, I guess you might call it, on sustainable stuff. So actually making that cheaper than taking the equivalent sort of price off of sustainable purchases. So yeah, it's really interesting. It's not gone through yet, but I think it's really encouraging. And often what we've seen so far is that where France leads, others follow. So yeah, I'll be following this really closely. And it's just great to see that a government is actually taking this seriously.
So refreshing.
Finally.
I know. Well, I would say to your first bit about your cover story, while you're on holiday, let's make sure next time I see you, you have a secondhand first tattoo somewhere on your body. I feel like that's your phrase.
Forehead.
You know? Yeah, right. Just, right. Just everywhere you go. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think the New York Fashion Act is probably the closest thing we've had going over here in the States to something similar to that. And that has not really made it through. You know, that's one of just kind of seems like it'll become a game changer, because kind of like the PFAS rule here in California. Like, if we can get some of these things through, all of a sudden, just people have to change. And
absolutely. Rooting for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but maybe this is just another step that needs to happen first before that can happen if this passes in France. So we'll keep an eye on that. Well, I'm glad we ended on a high note. So that's great. And thank you again, as always, for coming on. I hope you enjoy your holiday.
Oh, I can't wait. Thank you.
Well earned, for sure. All right. Well, that is the show for today. But before you move on to that next podcast about NFL free agency, be sure to click follow wherever you're listening to ensure you are subscribed to The Rock Fight. Then leave us a glowing review. Maybe something like, I love it when Sophie Benson joins the show. Leave that review. You know, points to whoever leaves out an Apple podcast. The Rock Bite is a production of Rock Bite LLC. For Sophie Benson, I'm Colin True. Thanks for listening. And here to take us out is our pal Krista Makes with the Rock Bite fight song. We'll see you next time, Rock Fighters. Rock Bite!
rap